I'm already blessed from the music this morning. It's fantastic. My name is Mike Wissman. I'm an elder here. And Peter and I want to introduce ourselves first. I'll start. And I have been married for, it'll be 36 years in August. And my beautiful bride, Kathy. I've been blessed to have two children, Brian and Justin. Both of them have located up to Syracuse, so that's a blessing, by the way, just having them happily located in an area that they want to be. Peter and I are going to be vulnerable today, so you can kind of see my picture up there when I was younger. At about age 15 is when I came to know about who Jesus was, and I made a personal decision to follow him at that age. So that's kind of a picture that's been kind of hidden away. Gives you guys a sense of who I was at that time in my life. Peter?
All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Peter Cho. You may notice that the digital quality in my pictures are a little bit better than Mike's.
Very true.
Just kidding. So I've been coming to Grace Point for about 6 years now. I was a student over at Binghamton University. I graduated in 2016 with my accounting degree, and then I pursued my master's in accounting the year afterwards. I now work as a campus staff minister for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, very relevant to my degree, I know. I am one of the missionaries that the church supports. I'm also one of the small group leaders for the Young Adult Fellowship here. So if you're a young adult, you want to get involved, we meet every Monday night at 7 p.m., shameless plug. So we're going to get started by doing something that we don't usually do here. So if you're new here, welcome. Just so you know, we don't do this every week, but we're going to play a game. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask for two brave volunteers to come to the front, and we're going to play a game together. So could I have two brave volunteers come up? All right, great.
Okay.
Come on up. Come up to the stage, yeah. All right. Thank you for volunteering. What are your names?
My name is Nathan.
All right.
My name is Gary.
All right, Nathan and Gate, thank you for volunteering. So the game that we're going to play is called Guess That Smell.
Oh.
So, Gary, please come back up.
Brave. He said brave.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to have you guys close your eyes and cover your eyes with your hands so that you can't see anything. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play something. You don't have to do it yet.
Oh.
I'm going to play something in front of your nose, and you're going to take a good smell.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me, one, does it smell good or bad?
Bad.
And
It's gonna be bad.
You'll see. You'll find out. And you're gonna try and guess what the smell is. Okay. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions? All right.
Yeah.
Let's get started.
Close the eyes.
So close your eyes.
Okay.
No peeking.
Yep.
No peeking.
So I'm getting a really strong influx of old man coming.
That's not part of the smell.
Oh, but,
all
right.
Here. This is the first smell.
So
all right. So take a good whiff. Take a good whiff.
Uh huh.
All right, don't hit your face on it. So, good or bad?
I'd say it's good.
Good, okay.
Good, yeah.
Good smell. All right, could you guess what the smell is?
It's, my wife's into these essential oils.
I
think
okay.
It's some sort of spice oil, maybe.
Spice oil, okay,
yeah.
That's a good guess. What would you say it is, Gary?
I agree.
All right.
Very vague.
I should have had another lady join us up here. But, so, you guys, it was a good guess. The smell was lavender. That was the smell. All right, so, we're going to do two more. All right, so, here's the next one. Take a good whiff.
I can't smell anything, yo.
Take a good whiff. All right, good or bad?
I didn't smell anything.
You didn't smell anything.
Nothing.
Good or bad? Nothing? Okay, so the answer is that it was nothing, so you didn't smell anything.
Okay.
So good job, your nose is working.
Yeah.
So this is...
Well, obviously, look at the size of this thing.
So this is our last and final smell.
Oh, no.
All All right. So take a good whiff.
Oh.
So, good or bad?
That was bad.
That was bad. Okay, good or bad? James?
I kind of liked it.
Okay, all right. You kind of liked it. So, what do you think it is?
That was like sulfur, rotten eggs, or really
sulfur,
bad water that we had in my house growing
okay.
up.
Ugh. How about you, Gary? What do you think it was?
Bad.
I thought you said you liked it.
I guess I have to agree with that label that he put on it, because I can't think of another
okay, all right, great. Well, you guys guessed well. So it's a fart spray.
Oh.
And it does smell like rotten eggs. So thank you for volunteering. You can go sit down now. Give these guys a round of applause. Thank you for volunteering.
Peter, you were right. That is a lingering smell, by the way.
It's all up in here now.
For those of you in the front row, we apologize.
The splash sound.
Yes. So I'm going to tie this into our message, but first let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful for your love for us. We're thankful for the worship that we were able to have. We are thankful, Lord, that we can be a pleasing aroma to you. And Lord, we just ask your blessing on this service. We already are sensing your presence here. We ask that what Peter and I bring as a message, Lord, is from you. And Lord, that you would open hearts to that you would challenge us, all of us, Lord, that you would have something for each of us. We give this service to you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So one of the questions we wanted to be addressing today, the question, is what is God calling us to do to reach the world with the gospel, with the good news of the gospel? And when I use that word gospel, it's a biblical term, and it really talks about the good news of really who Jesus was, is what he did when he came to this world to die for us on the cross and offer us that gift of salvation through knowing him. How would we answer that question would be what Peter and I are trying to address. In fact, I've got to make sure I get us to the point. We actually do have a computer today, so we were really worried here that we wouldn't have something when we first came in. So this is the question we're trying to address, and we'll be walking you through some scripture, and Peter and I will be somewhat transparent as we go, and we hope you get something out of this. But when we think of this question, some of us might answer it, well, we need to give generously to the church or to religious organizations that actually spread the news of Jesus Christ. Or some might answer, we need to serve God in our church, in our community. We need to be involved using our gifts and abilities. And some may answer to send out missionaries so that they can reach the unreached. All of those are great and good and appropriate answers to this question. But Peter and I want to highlight today a few scriptures, one in particular that provides us insight to an aspect of this that we want to focus on today. And so we're really going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 16 first, which kind of gives us a clear kind of visual of an answer to this question. And it's up on the screen for those of you who don't have it in the Bible. And I'm going to read this to you, but read along with me. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God a pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To another, we are an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? So you can kind of see how the activity blends into this particular message. So we are to be a pleasing aroma of Christ. What that means to me is, and as I'm learning in Scripture, is we need to love as God loves. We need to have Jesus live in and through us to show others what that love is genuinely. This word love is a very difficult word in our language, isn't it? It's interpreted differently in the world as it is in the Scriptures. There's a verse of Scripture I want to read to you, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, that really defines in God's definition what love that is Christ-centered is. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That is God's definition of love. And when we talk about being a sweet and pleasing aroma of God, it's living that love in our world today. Now, each of us gives off an aroma. How we live, how we live out our beliefs, whether we like it or not, we each have an aroma. I want you to think about that. That's really part of this important message that Peter and I have to share. God calls us to be a pleasing aroma, one that loves sacrificially, selflessly, in the way that we just described. However, one of the dishes that Peter passed had no smell. Sometimes we tend to want to blend in. We don't want to make waves. We kind of want to hold a secret faith so that no one else will know, because we're maybe afraid we might offend somebody. Well, how do they know the hope that is within us if we don't not only live for who Jesus is, but let them know why we live that way? And then some, unfortunately, have a foul smell. I think that lingering smell is gone. But that really is meant to, when we misrepresent who Jesus is in our life, we may be trying so hard to be in the world that we become very much like the world. And yet God would have us be different and be more like Him. He would want us to have and show His love and His grace the way He portrays it to us in His word and in His life. And so we don't want to be a foul smell in our witness to others around us. I'm going to tell you a story of when I was a young Christian. This is after I accepted Christ, but before God really got a hold of my heart. I went to a camp, one of those teen camps, and I reveled in the popularity I could have, because I enjoy sports. I also am pretty social, and so I can interact with people if you know me pretty well. So I was able to make friends quickly, and I became fairly popular. And then there was this young man, Raymond, that came to the camp. And Raymond was the opposite. He was clumsy, and he was socially awkward as well. And he became the brunt of many jokes. And I found myself not coming to his defense because I was enjoying the popularity, but instead laughing along with them. Although I didn't verbally abuse him, I laughed along with everyone that did. At the end of the camp, I had a chance when I was packing up in our dorm. We were bunk beds, and they probably slept eight of us together, but there were just the two of us, actually, in that room together at the end of the week. And I thought, wow, I should befriend him. So I reached out. I said, Raymond, you know, you got plans this week? You going somewhere? He just kind of was quiet. I said, did you have a good week? And he said, no, Mike, I really didn't. I was lonely. I felt targeted this week. He said, more than that, Mike, and he was being real honest with me, he said, I had heard you were a Christian. And yeah, he said, I was disappointed. That cut me to the heart. I realized that I was a stench to God, not only to Raymond, but to everybody else that was there. I could have been a sweet aroma. I could have been an example of Jesus Christ and how He would have responded, and I was not. And I thanked Raymond for being honest with me. I apologized to him, but it was too late, wasn't it, at that point? So God taught me a lot through that. And by the way, through other instances, I'm not perfect. But God has also taught me not to be neutral. He's taught me to lean forward, I'll use that term. look for opportunities to share honestly with people about my faith. Don't hide in the background. Don't hide my faith when it's a key part of who I am. So leaning forward, looking for an opportunity, but not pushing, so that I'm not neutral. And then God has given me also opportunity to be a pleasing aroma. And I was blessed, for instance, when I was in college, I got really serious about my faith. God was really helping me grow. And when I was growing, it was evident to others around me. And it should be evident in your life that when you're growing, that it just spills over. And one of my best friends, Mike, by the way, I was able to lead to the Lord. And that was one of the most special moments in my life, and I could see the result of that particular fruit. So I think we want to make sure we are a pleasant aroma for Jesus Christ as part of this process, and we want to make sure that we recognize what aroma we are being at any point in time, because any of us can be an aroma, whether it be positive, neutral, or negative, depending on how we're acting about people around us. Correct? Peter?
So, if it was the last time that you were about to see someone, see a loved one, how important would their last words be to you? So, these were Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" I think this was Jesus' last words that he told his disciples because he saw this as of the utmost importance, that all authority had been given to Jesus, and now he was giving that same authority to his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, to teach them everything that Jesus had commanded them to do up to that point. Notice that this is a command from Jesus to all of his followers, and it's called the Great Commission. But I think for many of us, myself included, we're very much tempted to think of it as the Great Suggestion. See what I did there. So now, as followers of Jesus, if we're trying to go and reach every person to the ends of the earth, I think it's important how we smell, right? All of us, as Mike said, all of us have an aroma. We have an aroma to the people around us. So are we truly living as people who are the pleasant aroma of Christ that brings life? When people interact with us, does our aroma point to the living God that loves all mankind deeply? Or are we living as aroma that's more like a body odor that brings death? So now I want you to imagine with me your favorite smell. Your favorite smell. Maybe it's lavender or essential oils. Or maybe it's the smell of freshly cut grass or the smell of coffee in the morning. Now imagine a foul smell, something that you can't stand. Maybe it's your spouse's breath when they wake up in the morning, or it's rotten eggs or fart spray, whatever it may be, a foul smell. If we want to be disciple makers and teach others to love God and love others, which of these aromas do we want to be like?
The third verse, the last verse we really want to focus on in this topic is in 1 Peter 3:15, and this is a very convicting verse for me. Because it addresses a number of things that we all need to be doing. And let me read it to you again. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So there's a number of convicting aspects of this verse to me. In every aspect of my relationships, I have to keep Christ first. In addition, God wants all to see the love, His love flowing through us so that they'll ask the question. So when you and I are in the workplace or in the community or a church, But wherever we are to be prepared and to be giving others that sweet aroma of God to everyone, because all God is interested in seeing that love. And then he says, be prepared to share that good news. Now that scares some of us. It did me in the beginning. What if I don't know the answers to their questions? What if I offend them? What would they say? What would they think of me? All these questions shoot into my head and they're not from God at all. So be prepared. That means we need to, I would argue, be looking forward to that question. Be anticipating it with desire is where I would want you to go with that. And then I think the aspect of this, of when they ask, is very important. We need to be very astute to where people are in their faith, in their journey. We need to be more interested in who they are in that journey than our message to them if they're not ready for it. So we need to be ready when they ask. And this is very important. We need to be prepared to answer what they ask, not more than they ask, per se. So this is a very key aspect, I think, as part of us being a sweet aroma, is not being more, not pushing our agenda, but really understanding where they are in their walk and what they need. The with gentleness and respect, I think, is all about recognizing relationally where they are and understanding what their need is and being able to meet them there in their need. So being ready to give an answer for the hope is going to be dependent on the situation you're in. And I would say lean forward again from the perspective of God, give me an opportunity to be Christ to somebody else, to reflect Jesus' love to them. Help me to be ready to give an answer when they ask. Help me not to be pushy, not to be judgmental, not to be self-righteous, but to be loving and respectful of them. So I learned the hard way, so we're being real transparent here. In college, as I was growing in my faith, I had run track in high school with a buddy of mine was coming, and his name was Jeff, and he said, Mike, I see you're a guy with some faith. This is really shocking to me because we never had a spiritual conversation before. And he said, would you be willing to share with me something about your faith? I said, wow. I said, well, of course. Hey, let's set a time where we can do this and not be interrupted, where we have sufficient time. I knew I needed to prepare. And so we set a time, and I prepared. I wanted to make sure I knew what I was going to say, and I wanted him to know the entire gospel, make sure I didn't leave anything out. And I didn't want to blow this opportunity. And so we got together, and I shared with him, you know, wow, I learned about who Jesus was. He was God in the flesh, and how he lived and showed love, and then he willingly gave his life on the cross for me, paying my penalty, and how I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. And I presented to him how Jesus rose on the third day like he said he would because he is God, and how he ascended into heaven, and how the Holy Spirit is available to us. And I laid it out. I didn't give him a chance to talk, by the way, because I was so into what I was going to tell him. At the end of it, he said, Mike, thank you for sharing that. And he went his way. And I realized, I don't even know where Jeff is in his walk. I don't know what questions he has. I don't know if he's got erroneous beliefs about God or wrong impressions about God. I was more interested in making sure I shared than I was in whether he was receiving or not. I learn a lot. I'm a self learner. I evaluate the situations. I'm learning that first we need to build a relationship of trust with someone. If we were to understand where they are in their walk, spiritual walk, just like where I was when I was a teenager, I need to build a trusting relationship, at least to know what their questions are. I need to be living my life as Jesus would have me live it so they could see what it would look like to have Christ live in and through me. And then I want to respond to their questions. I don't want to be pushing my agenda on them. As we live life together, God comes up in almost every conversation, if you're astute to it. And then I want to address it in a sensitive manner. I want to address it in a way that would be appropriate for where they are in their walk, in their faith. And I want to do it in prayer. I want to be prayerfully considering what God would have me do. I want to be praying for them, because this God is revealing himself is really what's happening through us and to others. It's a spiritual thing. So I'm learning that being prepared means being willing and being patient. For me, it's being patient. Patient for God to move me in that direction. So when you think about a sweet, pleasing aroma, think about drawing them to the point where they see God realistically living through us and being prepared to share the reason for the hope that is within us. Now, transitioning here a little bit, I've had the privilege of getting to know Peter Cho for the last 5 to 6 years. It's been a huge blessing for me. Peter actually has a heart for people. It's one of his, I think, God-given gifts is loving other people, loving them to Jesus. He's very genuine. And I was excited when God called Peter into full-time ministry at Binghamton University here. Peter and his life, as I've seen it, is a pleasing aroma to God. And we as a church were blessed to sponsor Peter there. So we're asking Peter to kind of share a little bit about himself, about his ministry as part of this, and about what God is doing to spread that pleasing aroma at Binghamton University.
Thanks, Mike. Mike is very kind and generous with his words. Before I begin, I wanted to take this opportunity to thank Grace Point Church for its partnership with me and the ministry of InterVarsity on the Binghamton campus. And there are those of you sitting in the congregation right now who have been surrounding this ministry with prayer and with financial support, and I wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because what God is doing on campus, you know, it would not be possible if it were not for people who are praying and supporting this ministry. So thank you. And for those of you who are interested in finding out more about InterVarsity, I'm going to have a table out in the lobby after the service is over. You can come find me there and find out more information. InterVarsity, for those of you who might not be familiar, it's a college ministry. It's actually the oldest college ministry in the United States. It's been around for over 75 years. The purpose of InterVarsity is, in response to God's love, grace, and truth, to establish and advance witnessing communities of students and faculty who follow Jesus as Savior and Lord, that grow in love for God, God's Word, God's people of all ethnicity and cultures, and God's purposes in the world. InterVarsity's vision is to see lives transformed, campuses renewed, and world changers developed. That is what we long to see. So a little bit about myself and just my background with InterVarsity. I was involved with InterVarsity as a student. It's actually where I, as I got more and more involved, is where I grew tremendously in my faith. And in my senior year of college, I was praying and discerning, Lord, where do you want me to go after I graduate? Where are you leading me towards? And I had the opportunity to hear a testimony from a missionary who was from the Middle East. And what this missionary shared with us was that he was a student that was studying abroad in college, and someone had came and shared the gospel with him, which eventually led to him giving his life for Jesus and then becoming a missionary. And what he said that really struck me was he expressed that we absolutely need missionaries all over the world, him being one, but he also said that we need missionaries on the college campus because the whole world is coming to college to get an education. So what would it look like if each of those students heard the gospel and followed Jesus and went back to their friends and family to share about Jesus? What kind of global impact would that have in our world? And it was in that moment, as I was sitting there and hearing this testimony, where I felt like that was a confirmation from God for me through this missionary to join staff with InterVarsity and become a missionary on the college campus. And right now, there are 17,000 students on the Binghamton campus, and the truest thing about each one of them is that they are deeply loved by God. But the sad reality is that most of these students, they don't know that this is the truest thing about them. Most of these students will graduate never having heard the gospel, never having had the opportunity to sit down and ask their questions and to really ponder for themselves whether this Jesus thing is for them or not. Did you know that studies show that about 75% of college students who grew up in church, the kids that we have in church right now, 75% of them will abandon their faith within 5 years of leaving college. Not only is that heartbreaking, it's really alarming, right? Because that's not sustainable for the future of the church. So how a student is shaped in college, it's really critical. It impacts the rest of their lives. How a college student is shaped in college, will the 4 years that they spend in college will impact the next 40 years of their lives. So I think college is an essential time where students are, for the first time for themselves, trying to figure out what it is that they believe in on their own. What are their values? They're really taking the time in college to explore for themselves what they believe. Dr. Charles Malik, former president of the United Nations General Assembly, he said this, that the university is a clear-cut fulcrum with which to move the world. Change the university and you change the world. And I believe this is true because if you look at the list of the world's most influential people, one of the only things that they have in common is a college education. So if you can see that up there, here's a picture of some of the lovely students that I have the privilege of working with. Many of them actually attend Grace Point, so when school is back in session, you'll see them right over here. They're just sitting in this whole pew, just take up this whole space, and most of them are university students. So just to kind of give you an idea of what it is that InterVarsity does on campus, for those of you who don't know, every week there's a large group gathering called Encounter, and the vision behind these gatherings is that we want each person that comes, whether they're followers of Jesus already or not followers of Jesus yet, we want them to encounter with the living God, and that's the vision behind these large group gatherings. So there's a time of musical worship, there's a message from various speakers. Actually, Pastor Kyle and Pastor Tim have come in the past to speak. Every day of the week, there's a small group Bible study that happens in each living community on campus led by a student leader. At the beginning of each year, so in the fall and in the spring, we have this thing called New Student Outreach. And the idea behind it is to invite freshmen and transfer students to welcome them to campus and to invite them to our events and find the ones that are interested in Christian community, find the ones who are hungry for God, because studies show that students will decide within the first 21 days of being on campus where they're going to be for the rest of the 4 years there. So we do New Student Outreach. And then throughout the course of the semester, we have outreach events to engage the campus with the gospel. So this is a picture of students engaging in new student outreach. They're welcoming students back. They're handing out candies and giving out flyers, letting them know that they are loved, that they're welcomed, and sharing about Jesus. This is a picture of students. This is one of our outreach events that we do where we talk with students who are passing by and we share the gospel with them. The picture on the right is actually a picture of Jasmine, who I'll share a story about her in just a little bit, but she's actually praying with another student during one of our new student outreach events. But before I wanted to share a story about Jasmine, I wanted to tell you a story about Richard. So Richard, you can't really see him in these pictures, but he's the guy on the most right. He's actually in the middle of the picture on the left as well. So Richard is a freshman that got involved with InterVarsity this past year. And he was someone that God was already working on his heart before he even stepped foot on campus. And I was so surprised. I'll never forget the first time I met Richard. I actually met with some of his friends before I met with Richard. And how I got to find out about Richard was I was talking with these students who were friends of Richard. And I was asking him, oh, like, how did you find out about InterVarsity? How did you come here? And they were telling me, yeah, my suite mate, he shared about his faith with us and he invited us to come and that's why we're here. And I was like, tell me who this guy is. Show me where he is. So I went and talked with Richard It was a blessing to see him kind of grow, becoming more bold in his faith this past year. So last semester, Richard was one of our student leaders during our new student outreach. And after it was over, he shared this testimony with us about how As he was getting ready for his portion that he was leading, he felt like the outreach energy, so to speak, that he had was being sapped out of him. And he said, "I didn't want to talk to anyone. I just wanted to shrink into a corner and not talk to anybody." And that's what he shared. But then I started praying, and I started praying with those around me, and I felt this boldness through the Holy Spirit enter. And that day, those students were able to talk to so many more students than they thought was possible. It's just been a real blessing to see Richard grow. And Richard continued to be a pleasing aroma to those around him. It's actually because of his persistence, he invited his roommate to continue to come and be involved in InterVarsity. His roommate ended up coming to our end-of-the-year conference called Basileia, and it was during this week that Richard's roommate makes a decision to follow Jesus for the first time. And it was truly a blessing to pray together with him and to kind of see the transformation that had happened in both their lives. So, God was incredibly gracious this year, and we were able to see 39 rededications or first-time decisions to follow Jesus. And this is something that we've just never seen before in a really long time, and God has been tremendously faithful in that. Students this past year have been growing in a heart of prayer and evangelism. They're starting to see the opportunities that are available to talk with their friends, to share about Jesus, to share about their faith. Students are starting to realize for the first time that there are things that are outside of their control that they just can't do, and so they're seeing the value in going to God in prayer and asking God to intervene in situations. We have 6 new small group apprentices, and so what that basically means, for those of you who don't know, is that there are 6 students who have been trained to be able to lead a manuscript Bible study with their friends wherever they are. So that's something that's really exciting that I'm looking forward to this year. So I told you about Jasmine before, so I want to share a story about Jasmine. It's one of the highlights of my year. So Jasmine, she'll be a junior in the fall, but when she came in as a freshman, she was not a believer. She did not come from a Christian background, but we met her through one of our new student outreach events. And Jasmine, for some reason, she said she continued to come, because what she saw as she interacted with the different Christian community was that she felt like she was genuinely welcomed and loved. So she was able to see the aroma of Christ in believers, and that's what got her to continue to come. Last year, at the end of the year conference, Basileia, Jasmine makes a decision to follow Jesus for the first time. And it's been a true blessing to see her grow this past year. But the story I wanted to share with you is, this last semester, we had a coffee house-esque outreach event that we did. It was called Oasis. And the idea behind this outreach event was we were going to do performances, we were going to sing songs, or share poetry, or do dancing, and we were going to invite a lot of the people on campus to come, and then we were going to share the gospel and make an invitation to follow Jesus. And Jasmine had been invited to be our main speaker to share her testimony and do that. So leading up to this week, I was preparing, I was helping Jasmine prepare her testimony and kind of coaching her along how to do this process of making an invitation to faith. And as we're doing this, what Jasmine shares to me is, she says, "Peter, I feel like God is telling me to invite my parents to come. I don't know how I feel about that. You know, I don't know what they're going to think. I actually know they already have plans that day, so I don't even know if they can make it." And so I just encouraged her, and we prayed together, and what we essentially prayed was that her parents would cancel their plans and they would come. So the next morning, I wake up, and Jasmine had messaged me, and she said, "Peter, my parents said they canceled their plans and they're coming." And I said, "Praise God, that's what we prayed for." So that week, we have our performances, and then Jasmine walks up, and she shares a vulnerable and powerful testimony about the work that Jesus had done in her life. She shared about the joy that is within her heart now, and that it is her strength, that the joy of Christ is her strength, and that she has never regretted this decision of deciding to follow Jesus, because it's completely transformed every day of her life. So she shares this powerful testimony, and then now she turns to the crowd and she makes an invitation to follow Jesus, to enter into the joy that she has also experienced. And in that moment, 9 people raised their hand. And that was already incredible and was amazing on its own. But the thing that really, so there were people around the room that were praying for the room, and we all started crying together. And that was because out of the 9 people that had raised their hand, 3 of them were Jasmine's parents and her brother that had come mm-hmm. to the event. And so it was just a clear moment where the Holy Spirit was present in the room and God was working, and we got to be a part of that process. So after it was over, I went and talked with Jasmine, and I said, you know, how do you feel? You know, how was that experience for you? And she was ecstatic. She was completely excited and happy. And she said something to me that I will never forget. And what she said was, I knew that God would bring salvation to my family. I just didn't know that he would use me to do it. And when she said that just really struck with me, this was a story of someone who God loved deeply and invited into his family. She was attracted initially because of the aroma of Christ that she saw in other believers, and now she was being used as a pleasant aroma to other people and leading others to faith through the aroma that she was giving. So that's one of the highlights that I wanted to share with you guys. So that was a very brief summary of the InterVarsity Ministry at Binghamton University and how students' lives are being used as Christ's aroma on campus. So I mentioned to you guys earlier that there are 17,000 students. Out of those 17,000 students, 2,500 of those students are international students. They come from over 100 different countries. And as many of you know, Mike has been growing in a heart for international students. So I'm going to pass it off to Mike, and he's going to briefly share with us what he is learning about being a pleasing aroma of Christ for international students.
And I'm going to make this really brief. I absolutely, when I came to this church about 5-6 years ago, was amazed at the diversity that I'm seeing. And as I get to know international students and come to love them, I learn a tremendous amount about different cultures. And so this has been a growing passion of mine, is to get to know international students and scholars, to learn from them, to learn about their cultures, to learn about their beliefs, to learn about their hopes and fears, their family values. And in many cases, those international students, when they come here, they want to learn about America and American families, and they want to learn about kind of our culture and our beliefs, and they kind of find what we do odd in many cases. And they need help in adjusting to this culture, because can you imagine going into a whole new culture? And in many cases, they struggle with the language, never mind the culture itself. So we have an opportunity to come alongside, assist where they have real need, and get to know these students. So I'm going to just be real brief about the journey God has put me on to learning about what's happening around us. So this is a quick, I'm into charts, I can't help myself. If you look at the population of international students coming to Binghamton University, this just shows you the trend that's been increasing. You look at the last 7 years, and you can see in 2017 there was a little dip, wasn't there? And I think that's because of the political climate that's going on, and as best as I can tell, there's fear in many of the students as to whether when they come they're going to be able to stay or not, or if they leave and so on. So as Peter said, there's a blessing that we have of having about 2,500 international students that come. And by the way, they want to learn about our culture when they're here. And many of them, statistically, across the U.S., never see the inside of an American home. So it's an opportunity for us to understand, to build a friendship. And there's different ways that we do that in our church here. We actually have an opportunity through a program that's been going on for many years called the Conversational English. And the Hoes have been leading that. They've got a number of families that are helping them. And what that is it's an offering of instruction on the English language where there's time to practice speaking it with us Americans. And then there's also an element of culture that's taught there as well and discussed. And then there's a time of fellowship and eating together and building that relationship. And I think that has been very helpful to teach us about their cultures, to help them understand our cultures, and to build that trusting relationship. And so that's one aspect that I really love, and I've been blessed to be becoming more and more a part of it. The other aspect is Binghamton University offers the Friendship Family Program. They sponsor that. And there's a number of students that sign up every year saying, hey, I would like to be friends with an American family, and they sign up for that. And this is an opportunity for American families to say, hey, I'd like to befriend an international student and kind of introduce them to our culture and introduce them to our family and help them acclimate to our culture. What a great opportunity to get to know, to learn from them, to have them learn from us, to open the door for real meaningful friendship discussions. And again, to be an aroma of Christ to them at a sensitive, in a sensitive manner. So I'm a learner, I'm a student. So one of the other things I was doing is in my spare time is trying to understand what the diversity in our country looks like, because I'm getting really excited about learning about different cultures. So I went off to the website for Department of Homeland Security to find out, well, how many internationals are becoming permanent legal residents in the U.S.? What does that look like? If you look at the trend, this is every 10 years, every bar represents a decade. You can see the trend of increasing number of people approved for permanent legal residence in the United States. In the last 30 to 40 years, it's been averaging 1 million a year being granted permanent legal residence in the United States. And this, if you look at the makeup of that, it's pretty consistent the last 20 to 30 years, 40% are from Asia. That's huge. And so you can get a feeling of how diverse our culture is becoming. So as Peter and I talk about being an aroma for Christ in the workplace, being an aroma for Christ to our neighbors, wherever we go, what that is becoming is much more diverse with a global network of people. And I can tell you with technology today, our students are in touch with their family and friends across the globe on a regular basis. So as we're an aroma for Christ to our neighbor and those around us, and we're becoming much more globally diverse, we are making and having an effect on the globe and for Jesus Christ, as long as we're being a pleasant aroma and not a negative aroma. So that is part of my learning, has been significant for me and encouraging me to be a friend to everybody that God puts in your sphere. Because each of us has a sphere of people that God has placed us in. So Peter and I have kind of walked you guys through a set of verses that hopefully were compelling all of us, that God has called all of us to be this pleasing aroma. God has given each of us different experiences and people in our lives. And God is bringing more and more of a global diversity into our midst, into our neighborhoods, into our cities, and into our local campus, where we can be a sweet fragrance to God there as well. And so Peter and I are wanting to get real and get specific now with you about not only the answer to the question, what is God calling us to do, but what is he calling you to do? What steps does he want us to take as a result of this?
All right, so what Mike and I kind of shared is it's a picture of the opportunities that are available on the college campus, but really this invitation is for all followers of Jesus to be an aroma and to go and make disciples of all nations. And we, as a church, we don't want to be just hearers of the word, we want to be doers of the word. And so we've prepared some next steps for you guys to consider. So someone once said that when you start weeping for the lost, then you begin to understand God's heart for mankind just a little bit. So I'm going to ask you guys, when was the last time that you cried before the Lord because you felt a great burden for the people that God has placed in your life who have yet to follow Jesus? So what I want to invite you guys to do is to spend some time in reflection and think about who are the people that God has placed in your life who don't yet know Jesus. Whether it's your friends or your family or your coworkers or maybe even the neighbor across the street, list two people that God has placed in your heart that haven't trusted Jesus as Savior yet, and commit to pray for them weekly and ask God to show himself to them and open doors for spiritual conversations. So I want to address three people that are sitting here today. So the first is, if you're here today and you don't identify as a follower of Jesus, First of all, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome, and I hope you had a great time. And I really hope that the reason that you're here is because someone who invited you was a pleasing aroma of Christ. And if they weren't, come talk to me. But that's why I hope you're here. And my sincere hope is that you felt welcomed here today and that you would consider continuing to come. I want to speak to those of you who are sitting here and you're thinking about writing to people who don't know Jesus and you can't think of anyone. So if someone were to challenge me this my freshman year of college, I wouldn't have been able to come up with people, nor would I have wanted to, because I was so tightly wrapped up in my Christian bubble growing up in the church my whole life. I didn't interact with other people who were not, who were outside of the church, who weren't followers of Jesus. My invitation, it wasn't until God started moving my heart and made me realize that my roommate, if I never share the gospel with him and he were to die, that he is not going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And when God started moving in my heart, that's when I started becoming more serious and more passionate and even excited about sharing Jesus with others. So if that's you, if you're sitting there and you can't think of anyone, my invitation for you is to pray and ask God to burden your heart for the lost. There are those of you who are sitting here, and you already do this on a regular basis, and I want to commend you and encourage you to continue doing that, and I want you to think about what is something that, if this is something that you're already doing, then what's the next step that you can take in this? Maybe it's to think of two new people and continue to pray for them. So that's my invitation to you. We're going to give you just about a minute or two to think about that and write some people down and commit to praying for them. So we'll give you guys some time to do that right now.
Okay, the final step that we want to do with those two people is we want to determine what step you can take to begin building that deeper relationship, because it's all about relationship. So if you are early on in your discussion with them or just getting to know them, it might be inviting them for coffee or, hey, would you like to go golfing? Something that would be of interest to them, of course, not just to you. Or you might be spending life with them and you want to be leaning forward and inviting them to something that's going to have a spiritual aspect to it, to bring up a spiritual conversation. Come to an appointment event or ladies' tea or something like that. Or you may have a relationship built with them and you've talked about spiritual things and it might be time to lean forward and offer an investigative Bible study. Or how'd you like to walk through the Gospel of John together or something. It has to be sensitive to where they are, and they have to be at a point where they would accept that. So think about a step that you would take with each person. What is the next step? And take 1 minute and fill that out. And then I'll close in prayer. So I hope and pray that you are all impacted in some way. We need to be a pleasing aroma to Jesus Christ. Let's pray that God would help us to do that on a consistent basis. Let's all pray. Lord God, we thank you for being forgiving of us, as we sang at the beginning. Lord, we thank you that you are a great God, one that we should be very excited to share about with those around us. Help us, Lord, live for you and be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us. Help us to be a pleasing aroma to those around us. Help us to lean forward, Lord, in desiring to share just a little bit more about who you are and why it's so important to get to know you. Pray that you would embolden us. Help us as we think of these two individuals that we put down, Lord, to not just put it aside, but Lord, that you would help us to pray for them, that you would help us to reach out to them and take those steps seriously, Lord, and that you would give us a passion to do it more and more. Open our eyes, Lord, to those around us that you've put in our way, and Lord, help us to be that pleasing aroma. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming. I'm dismissed.